Me again? All of our kids are making their way back to Children's Church. It's going to be a good year, y'all. It's going to be a good year. Pray that God opens up new things for your family. I'm excited. Next week, I'm going to be starting a new message series, new sermon series called Grit. We're going to be going through the book of Galatians. I hope that you'll come and be a part of each one of those Sundays. I promise it'll impact you and it'll make a difference. And so hope that you'll be here for that. Lot going on. You know, we're in a new year. This is my first Sunday back since the beginning of the new year. And Melanie and I had plans to get on the treadmill. Y'all have never heard that before, have you? You know, for the new year, you know. Hit the treadmill, we're going to, you know, start eating better. So check back with me in 6 months and see how I'm doing. Hold me accountable, all right? You heard it from me. Hold me accountable, all right? But I'm excited about this new year, and I wanted to just have like a standalone message this morning that will encourage you, sort of light a fire as we step into this new year. I want to talk to you today about the art of living, the art of living. You know, it's almost like God has taken a canvas and given it to you and said, your life is a work of art, and I'm leaving it up to you. I'm going to create some boundaries so you can make this art beautiful, but I'm putting it into your hands. I'm putting this life into your hands. And you know, one of the greatest problems, I think, in life is that we see ourselves as owners and not stewards. And so you see, a steward is a manager, right? And what happens is that manager, that steward, manages someone else's property. But an owner lives the life that says, this is my life, right? It's mine. And so I do what I want, right? Because I'm the owner. See, God's people are to think and operate not like owners, but like stewards. That's God's plan. And that, listen, that was his plan from the very beginning. It was that you would operate this life, that you would see your life as on loan from God. You know, you only have roughly 100 years on this planet. You know that, right? And so you would see your life not as your own life, but that it belongs to God. He is the owner. And, you know, I spent so many years of my life, I'm sure some of you guys can relate to this, spent so many years of my own life just saying, God, why did you make me like this? Or, God, I think you made a mistake with me. God, this area in my life, I just want to fix it and I want to get it right, but I can't seem to get it right. Why did you make me this way? Why did you create me this way? And all you need to do, God, is add this and to add that. And see, what happens with that attitude is we step back into ownership, okay? So follow me on this, all right? And so that's the problem with that mentality. Paul addressed this in Romans chapter 9. We're going to touch on this just for a second. We're going to be in Jeremiah today, but here's what Paul says. He says, he's giving some examples of how God uses different people for different purposes. And he's making it known that God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. He created us. He does things his way, right? Not our way. And so Paul is imagining his readers are questioning God and thinking it's not fair. And so here's what he says in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me this way? Or why have you made me like this? Verse 21, has the potter no right over the clay? See, God is the potter. You are the clay. God is the potter. You are the clay. What right does the clay have to say, why did you make me this way? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, moreover, It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. See, God created you. He is the owner, and you are the steward. And what he's looking for is he's looking for stewards who are faithful, faithful stewards. And so our job, or my job, is to figure out my assignment, right? Why I'm here. And then to work with what he's given me and follow his plan. So I'm going to say that again, right? My plan, my purpose, and how I engage this is, as a faithful steward, my job is to figure out my assignment. What specifically is God leading me to, calling me to? Work out what he's given me, okay? My strengths, my weaknesses, work through those things, and to follow his plan, that he has an overarching plan. That's called the art of living. That's why I titled this message, The Art of Living. It's where you receive this created life as a blessing, y'all. Listen, as a blessing. You've received this life as a blessing and a stewardship, not an ownership. You don't own it. But listen, you don't own it, but you are responsible for it. Did you catch that one? So you don't own this thing, but you are responsible for this thing, and you're responsible for managing and stewarding it well. Well, how do you know when you're stewarding it well? Well, hang with me. We're going to talk more about that. So listen, I'll assure you, you will have a less stressful life, a less worrisome life, right? And you'll have greater peace and more contentment when you operate in steward mode rather than owner mode. In steward mode rather than owner mode. Because a steward means that what you've done is you've stepped into this understanding that God owns everything and you just manage it. And so your time, how you manage your time is you consult him, okay? Because God owns your time. And when it comes to your talents and the giftings that God has given you, your abilities, your personality, I mean, we can go on and on about those kinds of things. What your job is to do is to take that and to know it all belongs to God, and now you manage and steward it well. You have to be faithful stewards. That's what he's called you to. And the treasures, the things that he puts in your hand, all of the resources, right, the money he's put into your hand, the objects that they are no longer yours. You don't own them. And here's the deal. When you die, somebody else is going to own them anyway, right? Someone else is going to have possession of them anyway, all right? So think of that thing you really cherish. Maybe you worship it, you know, whatever, car or whatever it is. One day, someone else is going to own it. It might even be that crazy teenage son of yours. Who knows, all right? So one day, someone else is going to take possession of that and have to manage it, all right? You don't own anything. You are a steward. So you don't operate like an owner. And so here's the problem. Most of the gripes we have about ourselves and about ourselves and about our lives is because we're operating in owner mode. That's the reason we gripe about things that have to do with our lives. And it's the attitude of sin. We talk about this a lot here, all right? So here's what sin is. Sin is an attitude and an action, all right? It's an attitude that says, I'm the boss of me. This is my life. I'm the owner, right? That's sin. But it's also an action that plays out in all sorts of ways. Lying, stealing, pride, worry, you name it. There's lots of different sins out there. And so, but at the root of this is this pride that says, this is my life, and I'm going to do with it whatever I want. Owners always stray from God. Owners always stray from God. People who function and operate like an owner will always be straying and distant from God. Why? Because he's not the one in charge. You are. And so how in the world are you going to be close to him and in charge? It doesn't happen that way. Closeness is about the ownership factor. When he is Lord and he is owner of all things, you are in need of him. You are in need of him. And so you are close to him. You can't help but get close to him. Amen? And so turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to take a look at this. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeremiah. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he was called, he was called by God, called in to confront sin of God's people. They were off track. They were going their own way. That sounds pretty familiar. You see that quite a bit throughout the Bible, people sort of getting off track and going their own way. They had drifted so far from God, they didn't even resemble his children anymore. It didn't even resemble a people of faith anymore. They had gotten so distracted. They were doing their own things, and it's just like today, y'all. It's so easy to kind of lose your way and get away from him. And the more they strayed, the more confused they were. What do you think about that in our own world, how it relates to the United States right now? The more we stray from him, the more confusing things get. So their hearts were a million miles from God. And so God takes Jeremiah and plants him right in the middle of the people for such a time as this. And it says this, so here's what he's doing. He's getting ready to confront things. And so it says this in chapter 18, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. And so God's sending Jeremiah, right? And he's sending him to learn this important lesson. And Jeremiah's job as a prophet is to take that lesson, learn from it, and then take it to the people. That's his job, is to take that message and speak it boldly to the people, come what may. Well, he tells Jeremiah, I will go to this, you must go to this potter's house, and right there, I'm going to show you something, and then you're going to have to take that lesson to the people. Verse 3, so I went down to the potter's house, Jeremiah says, and there he was working at his wheel. And so that's what he's doing, right? He enters this man's house, he's a potter, and there he was doing what a potter does, creating and forming and shaping and creating and forming and shaping. That's what he's doing. He's shaping the clay at the wheel, and that's his creative work. What the potter does. Verse 4, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. There's so much here. Catch this picture. This vessel, it's spoiled in the potter's hand, right? So whatever it was intended to do or intended to be, it has missed the mark. It has missed the mark, whatever it was intended to do, whatever it was intended to be, and it has spoiled in the potter's hand. So the Hebrew word here for spoiled is shakoth, and it means to be marred, blemished, or defective. So now listen, this vessel, it was intended to do one thing, but it became something else. It was being designed by the potter to do one thing, but it had turned into something else. He doesn't, catch this part of the verse too, he doesn't just throw it away. Isn't that good news? He just doesn't throw it, doesn't just take it, ball it up and throw it in the trash. He reworks it, it says. He reworks it. And he shapes it into a new vessel. A new vessel that says here in the verse that is good to the potter. That's good to the potter. See, the vessel belongs to the potter. And so then Jeremiah then receives what the meaning of all this is, what the meaning of this lesson is at the potter's house. Look at verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord. Look at this. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. See, Israel was off track, and it was operating in ownership mode, not in stewardship mode. And it was far from God. It was far from the potter's hand. It was defective, not because of what the potter had done, but because of what they had done. They had strayed away. They had begun operating as owners, not stewards. And again, that's the attitude of sin, right? It's to be the boss of you. It's to be the one that's in control. And so their sin, their ownership thinking, I should say, is what tore them from the plan and purpose of God. It tore them away from the plan and purpose of the potter. So listen, they spoiled God's design. It wasn't him that spoiled it. It was them. They were mishandling it, right? They were mishandling God's design. So think about all the times we do that. We go our own way, and we spoil God's plan for us. I don't think we have any idea of how many times we have misstepped, and God had blessing over here, but instead we went our own way to the place of curse, right? To the difficulty, to the struggle. Think about how many times you've probably done that. So they went their own way, and now they are a defective people, not operating the way that God had planned. And listen, defective items always struggle to find meaning and purpose. Have you noticed this? So when you stray and you get away from the Creator, when you get away from the potter who knows exactly how to shape you, and you get away from him, you start to operate defectively. You start to operate defectively. And that's frustrating. Imagine a fish spending its entire life wanting to climb a tree. Think about that, all right? So imagine a fish. It spends all of its life just longing to climb a tree. And so then it swims up to the shore, and it spends all of its days staring at a tree on the shore, just trying to think of how in the world can I get out of this water and get up that tree and start swinging from its branches, right? And so there are people, y'all, all over this world who are fish trying to climb a tree, functioning outside of the way that God designed them and functioning outside of God's plan and wondering why their lives are not blessed and prospering and flourishing and thriving. It's because they're fish trying to climb trees. And what's happening is they're not necessarily trying to climb trees. They're longing for that kind of thing. They're longing for things that God did not design them to be. He didn't design them that way. That's not what the potter wanted. Am I preaching today? All right. Preach louder. See, when we go up against God's plan and we resist him, we spoil the plan that he has for us. We spoil it. And we're ruining it. And here's the thing. Let me just stop for a second here and just say this. Listen to this. I want you to know, you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. God knew what he was doing when he created you. He had a plan and a purpose. And when you pinpoint all of your flaws, whatever those flaws are, physical flaws, mental flaws, emotional flaws, all of these flaws, just know that God designed you this way for his purpose. The potter knows what he's doing. You don't. The potter knows what he's doing. You don't. I'm going to show you a picture up here on the screen. You guys remember him. Some of y'all have seen him. This is Nick Vujicic. And Nick was born with no arms and legs. This guy is making an incredible impact on this world. He has probably reached over 1 million people. He travels the world and speaks about his Jesus and speaks about the goodness of God. And he does it in a way that makes people just sort of step back and go, how could I complain, right? How could I complain? And if you've ever seen him speak, he speaks with such joy and such great outlook of his future and his plans and the things that God has done and the things that God is doing. And he has this incredible attitude towards life. And listen, it's not because he's the owner of his life and he worked it out that way. It's because he's a steward of his life and God worked that in him and through him. Amen? And so Nick doesn't think he has flaws. You might think he has flaws, but he doesn't think he has flaws. Why? Because Nick is in the potter's hands. And he knows that his life has been planned by God. God did not miss the mark. God did not mess up. God did not make a mistake. He designed him just the way he was supposed to be designed. And so when we turn from God and we start embracing sin, what we're really doing is we're trying to get operating in owner mode again. And we're getting out of steward mode. That's what we're doing. And we are missing the mark. And it's frustrating. Now listen to this. Here's the next important point. Spoiled items can be restored. Defective items, items that have gone astray, people who have gone astray, they can be restored. This is the joyous message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are never too far for God. And you can never mess up so bad that you can't get back to him. So watch this. Look at verse 4. In the vessel, that's you, he was making of clay, was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he, the potter, reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do, as it seemed good for him to do. So it's now everything shifted again, right? The clay's back in the potter's hands to do all the shaping, right? And here's the deal. All you have to do is return. That's the only thing you have to do, is return to the potter's hand, and then he'll rework you. But if you don't return to the potter's hand, watch what happens. Look at verse 11. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So now he wants Jeremiah to go back and just let all the people who have gone astray, let them know this. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. And then he says it again, return, everyone from his evil way, and amend your ways and your deeds. Amend your ways and deeds. What does that mean? I'm shaping disaster, he says. Why would he do that? It's because if this doesn't work, calling you to come back to him, if that doesn't work, just a simple call to get your life back to him, if that doesn't work, he's shaping disaster, right? And difficulty. Why? Because he uses disaster and difficulty to get back to him, get you back to him. And so this is really the message for the U.S. right now, isn't it? We're a mess. People have strayed from God, even Christians. You go out and interview Christians, people on the street, pretty much, I mean, just lots and lots of people will say, I'm a Christian. But they're not really living the life of a steward. They're living the life of an owner. And they're just going their own way and they're doing their own thing. And so what he says, when he says, I'm shaping disaster against you, is he's just warning. There'll be more difficult days ahead for you. Because that's what happens when you stray from him. It just gets, you get more and more distant. And pretty soon, he'll be calling you back and drawing you back. And look, he might have you here today because he's drawing you back to himself. But what he was telling it, what he was telling to the people of Israel is that he is shaping and designing disaster for them if they don't return to him. Why does he do that? He does that because he wants to restore you. He wants you to return to him, and he desires to restore you and to reshape you into the person he wants you to be so that you can steward this life well and have the life that you've always wanted. And so he aims to shape you, but the only way you are going to cooperate with that is to start thinking like a steward and not like an owner. Amen. And maybe you're here today and you're like I was. God, why did you make me this way? God, you made a mistake. God, you need to do this in my life and you need to do that in my life. And you might be saying that to God today. Look, that's an offense against him. He designed you just the way you are. Look, he wants to shape you to become more like him. And you're going to fail and you're going to falter. But if your arrow is pointed straight to him, and you start to build your life around him as a steward of the blessings of life that he's given to you, if you do that, you're going to find so much more. And God will show you so much more. And so what I did half of my life is I just let my feelings shape me. I let all of my different impulses shape me. And it's called sin, right? Sin drives you to things and tells you, this is who you are. Build your lifestyle around this. This is who you are. And I listened to all that. But when I came to Christ, I stopped listening to the world. I stopped listening to my impulses. And I started to be able to identify how sin was affecting my feelings and my impulses. And what happens is I turned my life over to him, became more of a steward than an owner, and God has shown me, he has shown me how to have the life that I've always desired to have, the life that I've always wanted. He's shown me how to do that because I put my life back into the potter's hands. Amen? And my appeal to this morning is for you to do the same. Let me just take just a minute and remind you of a few things. You had no part in being born, okay? You didn't create you, right? I just want to remind you of that. If I get that part, okay? You didn't create you. You didn't create yourself. You didn't even initiate it. And so if you think that you're going to discover why you were created, you're not going to without him. Why? He initiated you. He created you. The only thing you know is you've looked around and you've seen that people only live for about maybe 100 years, okay? And then the only thing that you have now, apart from God, if you're away from God, the only thing that you're going to have is your impulses, your feelings, your desires, your thoughts, and the world teaching you, right? And what a great teacher the world is, right? Right? But here's what's going to happen is sin is a liar. And it's going to lie to you. And Satan is a deceiver. He will deceive you. And the world has all kinds of patterns that it wants you to live by. And so you have all of this stuff and you can jump right into that and you can live in the confusion of the world or you can turn back to the potter and let him shape you to the person he's created you to be. Amen? And so in the purpose seminar that we do up here, and we're about to start it in February, in Genesis, we go through this, but I'm going to just want to walk through this with you as we close. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. Who created? God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created space and time. You know, time is a creation. He lives outside of space and time. You can't even wrap your brain around that, neither can I. But listen, he is God, you're not, right? So he has created space and time. He created all things. He created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything in it is what the Bible says. And then he created you and me. He created humans. And it says he created them in the image of God. So you are unique. You are unlike any other parts of the creation. You are made in the image of God. You are made special to him. And this is important because what he did is he created humans. He split you into two genders, okay? A male and a female. He did that on purpose. And there is all kinds of purpose for female, and there's all kinds of purpose for male. Can I get an amen? Okay, we're going somewhere on this one, right? So he has all kinds of purpose for male, all kinds of purpose for female. He gave them roles and responsibilities for males and for females. You may not like that, but you're not the owner. You're the steward. You come under his plan. You don't go over his plan. So you may not like the roles that he has set in place, but look, what he's aiming you to do is to flourish as a human. So he wants you to be a part of his plan. He's the potter. You're the clay, right? And so he creates male and female, and then he says, it's not good for men to be alone. I'll make a woman. I can do better than that. I'll make a woman. That's the only part I'm going to give you. That's the only part I'm going to give you. Okay. and then he says, a man and a woman shall come together, leave their father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one in marriage. That's God's plan. And marriage, listen to what marriage is, okay? So marriage is God's wonderful plan to really complete two people. And so he pulls these two people together and he says, I'm solving your aloneness. I'm creating a oneness with you. And I want you to go and I want you to multiply, okay? So then when we see male and female, we know that they're made. And look, evidence shows, just by pure evidence, right? Men are intended to be with women. And men are intended to be with women to multiply, right? To be one with one another. You may not like that plan, but that's God's plan, right? So then they come together, they multiply, and then God, he didn't just make you a part of the human race, he made you unique. He made you unique. Some people are dancers, some people are singers, some people shouldn't sing, right? Some people shouldn't dance. Some people are good at math, some people are not. Some people are better working with people, some people are not. He's designed us in so many different ways, and it's a beautiful thing. If you resist it, you'll be like a fish longing to climb the tree, okay? But if you embrace it, he'll take you to places. And so you embrace those differences, that uniqueness about you, and you partner that with the potter, and he shapes you. Amen? I'm just going to end there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We pray for a wonderful year this year, Lord, a year where the truth of your word is sent out, and it begins to change the hearts of people. It begins to change this community, the neighborhoods of every person that's here today. It begins to change the cities and the state and the nation and the world, because your gospel is powerful, it's directional, and it brings new life, Father. I'm praying for new life. And I pray for that person who has strayed like Israel. We all have strayed. We know what that's like. But Father, that person here that has strayed from you, who has pulled life into their own hands and who's trying to be the owner, Lord, I pray that this message will penetrate even the hardest of hearts here today to turn them back to you so that they can flourish and be the people that you've called them to be. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.